This is Will's Band of the Week for January 26th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Chris, live in Fourth Bedroom Studios.
Yeah, big get this week.
Yeah, it's there were so many negotiations behind the scenes, and we finally had to... It was that extra little offer that we made at the very end, right? I think it was like maybe $50,000 in cash. I'm not sure. It was like you were just weren't quite there, but it was like, okay, look.
It's a little below what you pay me. Otherwise, yeah, but right. Yes.
So, yeah, here you are. We need to get some more Barrett on this podcast this year, but I'm glad everybody else has stepped to the plate.
We're missing his Barrett tone.
Yeah, Barrett
get
tone.
It?
Good. Yeah, good term. Yeah.
Yeah, lame.
Yeah. Come on, Barrett. I know you're busy. I've heard the rumors around town are that you're very busy. There's always rumors around town.
Yeah, you know? Everybody's talking about it.
Yep. But we have a full, exciting, can we say palette? Is that not the right word? You know, just an array of stuff.
Yes.
To talk about.
A virtual cornucopia of topics.
And, well, let's see. I think, usually, I think a good thing to do is to, start when we have one of these. Because I saw a couple of 12-second snippets on social media, I'm aware that you have a live report for us.
I do.
Yeah.
And if my voice today isn't as ebullient as it normally is, it's because it was a late night.
Yeah, you have kind of you have one of those post late night voices.
Yeah.
Today.
It's very smoky.
It's rough.
And demure.
Yeah. It's hard work going out and scouting out bands.
Rocking is it is hard work.
Yeah.
So last night Barrett and I went to go see podcast favorites Chai.
Yes.
And then they were opening for Whitney, who I also like quite a bit. And it's kind of an odd pairing. Like, if you've seen Chai, it's four young Japanese women who are very, let's say, upbeat and positive and enthusiastic, whereas Whitney is not that. It is, you know, a bunch of dudes from Chicago who are very relaxed. You know how we say some of the stuff we listen to is challenging but not confrontational?
Yeah.
Whitney is neither challenging nor confrontational. It is none of those
right.
things.
Right. Yeah.
So.
It's an interesting pairing, isn't it? And you wonder, are they on the same label or how did they end up pairing those two bands?
So I have a conspiracy theory that I was watching, I guess it was the Pitchfork Festival over the summer. And they had the live stream, and I watched the live stream of Chai, and you know there are all these grumpy hipsters out there in the 98-degree sun, and Chai starts playing, and it completely turned them all around. Mm-hmm. Like they were smiling and happy, uh-huh. and everybody loved it. And I think I watched Whitney on that same live stream, maybe later in the day or something. So they may have been playing the same stage. They may have just bumped into each other. So. It is a weird pairing, but my conspiracy theory is that's where it all got together. And Whitney said last night that was the first show that they had played together here in Madison. So,
huh, cool.
But so we got there early enough, got close to the front for Chai, and Barrett, who loves Chai more than any of us, and I don't think got to see them at South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Did you?
No, I didn't. I would have liked to, but never got to see him.
So he was worried that he loves the album so much that it would disappoint him when he went to go see them. And afterwards, he couldn't have been happier with how it turned out.
Oh, good.
Like,
good.
He was very... He's like, the recorded album is just so perfect, and it's so, you know, well recorded, and I just don't think it's going to translate into a live show. And for him, it did. And then when we bought, when I got the tickets, I said, hey, it's Chai and Whitney. He's like, well, yeah, I really like Chai. I'm not too hot on Whitney. And then as we're driving there, he realized that like 2 years ago, he had Whitney on his top 10. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So, yeah, you do like them.
Oh, that's great.
It's just we churn through so many bands, it's kind of hard to keep track of who we like and who we don't.
Right.
But, yeah, Whitney had the whole drummer as lead singer thing going. They had a little riser up right at the front of the stage where the drummer sat and sang. And I think there were like 6 or 7 people on stage with horns, and it seems like a pretty expensive touring band. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, that was really good. Enjoyed it.
They were playing at Madison's Arena Rock venue, the Sylvie. So they've got enough of a following. They're getting a big enough crowd, I guess, to justify a large band like that, right?
That is true.
So very good. Cool. That's fun.
Yep. And then we went out, and it was a late night, so I need a nap.
Is it known on the podcast where you and Barrett always end up?
Yeah, the official bar of the Will's the Band of the Week podcast. And this is up for grabs, too. But for now, it seems to be Le Tigre Lounge on the west side of Madison.
Yeah, I mean, whoever pays us, like, what's the bid up to? About $8 now? I mean, when somebody pays us a little bit more, they will become the official bar.
So yeah, Le Tigre Lounge is a bar that's set up in the 1960s, and it's all full of tiger memorabilia. It's got like a tiger carpet and stuffed tigers and everything having to do with any type of tiger anywhere. So it's, yeah, it's kind of an old style. You're not allowed to swear there because the old man that used to own it, he's a very, very conservative, very, very traditional guy. So
is there a sign in there or something? No foul language will be tolerated.
I think it's just one of those like little, one of the things that you just kind of have to know.
Oh.
And you'll get a warning, but then you'll get kicked out if you for persistent swearing. Huh. And Craig has actually been there with us, but you have not, and you live here.
And I may have stepped foot in there at some point. When I first moved to Madison, I lived like 2 blocks from there. But I don't remember actually going there, but I've gone to that hardware store that's right next door.
Yes.
Many times. But yeah. I've never been to the late night thing with you guys because the problem is it's already late at night and then it's the wrong direction from my house, like 2 more miles the other way. And then I'm like, well,
you're not dedicated enough.
No, I'm not. I'm an aging rocker.
You just hop on Monroe and it takes you almost right to the front door. Yeah.
One of these times, I'll go with you guys. I mean, if it is the official bar of the podcast, it would be kind of appropriate that I go there sometime, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, good. That's part of the live report, right?
Yes. The live report always extends to whatever. And Barrett put, I think like $3 in the jukebox and got 40 songs or something. And so we're both just up there. And it's an entirely like old school jukebox with actually real records, and I don't think there are any songs past the 70s. So we listened to a lot of Bread and Patsy Cline and a lot of stuff like that.
Whitney sounds a little bit like Bread, right?
A little bit, yeah. Yep. Yeah, we just kept it going, kept the vibe going, right?
Yeah. So well, that kind of reminds me, I was listening to a podcast this morning. Have you ever heard of the John Cage thing called 433?
I have not.
It's just basically, he calls it a composition or whatever, I guess, and it's 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence. And they were talking about the first performance of it, or some performance of it, where a guy walks onto the stage with a piano, and the first thing he does is he closes the piano, and then he sits for like an hour and a half, not an hour and a half, a minute and a half, and then he opens it up and like sits there for about another 2 minutes or whatever. And the thing is called 4:33 or 4 minutes, 33 seconds. And that's all it is. But they were talking about how somebody extended that idea to a jukebox. Like you put, if you put that on the jukebox, then if you're in some bar and you think it's too loud and you don't like the music, you just play that. So it, it plays silence. You're basically paying to turn it off.
That is actually kind of ingenious.
Yeah, and that's a great idea.
You could sell a lot of plays of that song if people just want to talk at the bar.
Right.
that's pretty good.
John Cage's 4:33 should be on every jukebox.
Yeah, so it's a new modern thing. It's like naming your band something that starts with two A's, so you're always at the top of everybody's playlist.
Yeah.
Another sneaky thing.
Yep. Fun stuff. Little tricks you can play. The young rockers can learn from us. Okay, this one I'm going to call Music News. It's another, as we become more and more aging rockers, or more anniversaries, but it's the 30th anniversary of a, maybe we're going to call this a cult favorite, but it was the band Pale Saints and their album The Comforts of Madness. I mentioned this to you and you said you had never heard of it.
Correct.
Is that right?
I have no idea what you're about to say.
And you didn't do extensive music journalism after I mentioned this.
You can knock 10,000 off my fee.
You didn't take like a 2-hour deep dive into Pale Saints after I mentioned this?
Sadly, I did not.
Sad.
Too busy watching Chai.
Yeah, that's true. You're a busy guy. So this ties into another thing that you and Barrett were telling me like a week ago, that you compiled your top 100 songs of all time lists. And I started doing mine. I'm kind of working on this. It's pretty fun to do, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just mentioning that because I'm going to play a song from this Pale Saints album that will be on my top 100. So it's my favorite one from the album.
You can't give away what's on your top 100 already.
Well, you know, it's just one song, and it could be anywhere in the 100. I'll say it's somewhere between number 14 and number 72, but I'm not sure where.
I'll settle on being surprised 99 times. You can have this one.
Okay, so this is the remastered version of The Comforts of Madness by Pale Saints, and my favorite song from the album, Language of Flowers. Pale Saints. There you go. Chris has now heard Pale Saints.
Yeah. I have no doubt that if I listened to that a lot, I would, I'd like them a lot.
Yeah, you would have liked it back in 1990 if you got around to listening to it.
That's 1990?
1990. Mm. They had three albums. There was another one in like 92 and maybe one in 94. And I remember liking the second one a lot also. I'm not sure about the third one. And they're from England, and I'm pretty sure it's Leeds. Mm. Other trivia item, the leader of the band is the singer, which isn't surprising, but he's also the bass player. And people who like bass will appreciate the bass on that song. It's got a little bit of that New Order kind of thing, but it's also just really tuneful and cool.
Yep.
So there you go. Pale Saints, check them out.
I listened to that and thought it was solidly within your bailiwick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yep. You were thinking, oh God, he's so predictable. But I'm not like Anurag, you know, I don't follow like, you know, folk with thrash metal. Not quite that diverse.
I have another topic I would like to bring up. This is the annual Chris Complains About Who Got Into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
So this year's entries, Depeche Mode, The Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex.
And how many get in out of those nominations?
They're all in.
Oh, those are the ones who got in.
Those are the ones that got in, yeah.
Oh, so I remember a couple of the other nominees, like Motorhead was in there, right?
Yes.
They're not going to get in over Whitney Houston.
No.
But she's not rock and roll. We've talked about that before. But
right.
Yeah.
I mean, that ship has sailed. They decided long ago that it's the Popular Music Hall of Fame. It's not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
But yeah, she was probably one of the most popular she's not a songwriter, but singers in America for a good 5 to 7 years. So
yeah.
I think by the standards that they've set aside, she should be in, I guess.
Yeah. It's hard not to just make it a popularity contest, right, with the number of sales. But then I guess they should be looking at how influential the artist was.
Yeah.
Right.
Depeche Mode, I'm very happy got in. I'm a Depeche Mode loyalist. Love them. I think their best album is probably their fifth or sixth, which is, it's kind of amazing for a band to go five or six albums before making their absolute best album.
Yeah.
Let me think. Nine Inch Nails, I'm a huge Nine Inch Nails fan and have been since Pretty Hate Machine came out in 1989. But as trying to be an impartial observer, are they Rock and Roll Hall of Fame worthy? I don't know. They have Pretty Hate Machine. They've got The Downward Spiral. And then they've got a couple more that were just kind of okay. And then they just basically disappeared. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, obviously, he's basically the one-man band.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that he's had a resurgence lately in music scoring for films, I think that probably helped his case.
Yeah.
That he's back in the limelight. I think he actually won an Oscar for scoring like The Social Network or something. So I actually do listen to some of his soundtracks when I'm reading or something. They're for like people who watched. He actually did the Ken Burns Vietnam series. So it's
wow.
Like basically for people who watch Ken Burns movies, but with kind of like a Nine Inch Nails electronica sensibility. It's actually pretty cool. So definitely you should check those out. Notorious B.I.G., you know, never really did a deep dive into Biggie, but you know, he's one of the big names that comes up. Still haven't figured out who killed him. He and Tupac. So yeah, other than that, I actually don't really have any complaints, I don't think.
I thought you were building this up as a rant. I thought you were going to, you know.
No.
It was outrageous.
Doobie Brothers belong in, I think, probably.
Yeah, I guess they got to be.
T-Rex.
Yeah. I think T-Rex, they didn't have that many hits, at least over here, but people tend to cite them as influential, so maybe that pushes them over.
Yeah. The outrage with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame continues to be who's not in.
Yeah.
Like the Pixies, the Smiths, Husker Du, kind of bands like that, bands that are like super influential probably didn't sell enough albums.
Not being in seems weird to me, but, and do you think that could be a political thing because Morrissey's such a weirdo?
Yeah, Morrissey's new.
He just doesn't make friends, you know? He just.
Well, he's on this kick now where he's kind of like a Brexiteer. Like he's a leaver.
Yeah.
And I think that may be hurting him as far as getting in. It's kind of like Kurt Schilling getting into the Major League Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Where he's just like some obnoxious right winger now. And so he's probably hurting his case getting into the Hall of Fame just because he's so grotesque now. But yeah, so Morrissey might not. Morrissey could be in as a solo artist and with the Smiths. I don't know what the holdup is, but.
But he cancels like 40% of his gigs, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
He's got to have the highest cancellation rate in all of popular music, right?
Well, he had cancer a couple of years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was diagnosed with cancer maybe 2 years ago, and I think in his statement, he said something like, well, if I go, I go. Like, it was pretty much just kind of matter of fact.
Well, all the cancellations that I ever hear about are just him being temperamental.
Yes.
Not that he's ill or anything. It's just like he gets mad about something, and he says, I refuse to play there as a matter of principle or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, my friend Brad went to drove all the way to Chicago to go see him. Morrissey comes out, he plays one song, walks off the stage.
That's even worse.
But then, yeah, but then you have the story, right?
Right, that's true.
Like, if he played a full set and you enjoyed it, you'd, you know, file that away in your memory and probably never mention it. But now you can say you saw Morrissey walk off the stage after one song.
Didn't the White Stripes play a 1 second gig one time?
Did they?
I think there was a concert film, and then maybe they showed it. You know, it was like a decade ago or whatever. I'm pretty sure they came to a park, and I don't know how far in advance it was announced, but there were people gathered, so they knew, like, the White Stripes were setting up at this park. And they came on, and they played one note. They went, and then they walked off. That's pretty good. Is that better or worse than the 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence? I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of the exact opposite.
Yeah.
The flip side.
Yeah. Okay. Should we go on to our main event?
Sure, now? Let's do it.
So, yeah, I had listened a little while ago to this album by Eddie Current, Suppression Ring. And I wasn't sure what to make of it, but I sort of liked it, but I just never really went back to it. And then you said that you liked it, so then I went back to it, so here we are.
Yeah.
Eddie Current, Suppression Ring. Now, that's kind of a cool name, right?
Yes, it's actually named after it's a part for an electronic transformer. Yeah. So, you know, they're well within the historical bands named after obscure parts of electronic delivery. So, power poles.
Right. And they're sort of, from what I can tell, indie rock veterans. I think they've been around over a decade.
Yeah, they formed in 2003. First album, I believe, was 2006 or 2008. They can probably be seen playing in Nicholas's backyard, because they are not technically Melburnians, but very close.
They've got to be, like, friends of Nicholas, right? You'd think.
Absolutely.
They seem like they're right in that wheelhouse, probably.
Every band that we've mentioned that barbecues in Nicholas's backyard, they're definitely now part of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The album is called All in Good Time. And what are we going to play?
Well, I think you have to start with the first two songs, which are kind of set a good precedent. Let's start with number two, which is called Medieval Wall. Eddie Current, not to be confused with Eddie Curry, the former NBA 7-foot-tall basketball player who got kicked out of the league essentially for getting too fat. He basically just ate his way out of the league.
He could push people around, though. He's like a
top,
extra weight.
Yeah, he's like a top three pick of the Chicago Bulls. Yeah, good old Eddie Curry.
But he was not related to Stephen Curry then.
No.
There's another Curry, though. Was it Stephen Curry's dad? Was all Del Curry.
Del Curry was the dad, yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Curry, not related to any of them, as far as I know. Fun fact about this band, before they made their first album, they all worked together at the same business, which was a vinyl company pressing records. So they were actually making records before they were making records.
Yeah.
See what
they
I did
were
there?
Literally, yeah. That's
literally
good.
Making records.
Yeah.
So yeah, they worked at a vinyl plant making records, and then they got together and started a band. From what I can tell, a lot of the older stuff is a lot more aggressive, kind of punk type of stuff. This is a little bit more, it's a little bit slower. It still rocks, but I think it's a little more reflective. It's not, you know, kind of your hard charging, straightforward punk. Mm-hmm. And I think this is their fifth album, although it's their first since 2011. So they haven't made one in 8 years.
You've been pressing a lot of vinyl in between during that 9 years, probably.
Right.
Other people's vinyl.
I like stories like that, though. I mean, obviously, Eddie Current isn't sitting back in a mansion drawing royalties on his first four albums. So
right.
He probably went out and got a real job for 8 years. And then they're finally like, let's get back and do this. For the love of doing it, not necessarily because they're going to be big stars.
Right. Yeah. All right.
How we do this podcast.
Exactly.
I mean, we make millions of dollars doing this, but...
Right. But we'd still do it anyway. let's go a little deeper just for fun up to number 7 called Vicariously Living.
One of the songs that I had queued up on my list.
It sort of sounds sloppy, but it's not actually sloppy.
I was gonna say one of the things that I like about it most is that it sounds like they recorded the whole album in an afternoon or something. I mean, there's missed notes and stuff like that. Like, it's very DIY sounding.
Yeah.
DIY. Yes.
You said it right the first time.
Good.
I think there's something about it, though, that the way that I think you're right. Like, a lot of it could be just recorded live, you know. But the sound of it makes it sound kind of messy, but they're also like a pretty tight band underneath that sound. So it's cool. It's fun stuff.
They are from Ormond, Australia, which is right outside Melbourne. So it's a suburb. So there you go. They can go party with Courtney Barnett. And God, how many Melbourne bands do you think we've actually talked about on this podcast?
A lot. Maybe like probably second to Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
If we were to rank, okay, how many bands have we talked about? Like 1,000? Probably about 1,000, right? So just because everybody moves to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom, they'd probably be the top. That'd be the top location, but I bet Melbourne is number two.
Yeah.
Don't you think? And then after that, probably Ipswich.
Everybody comes out of Ipswich.
Then Kitchener, and then Madison, like what, two or three bands we've talked about from Madison. Got one maybe coming up though, right? That album's coming out.
Yes.
So we'll have to talk about that. We can like not say anything right now because it's
right
anticipation, right?
All right, so I'll pick another one.
Yeah.
I'll pick number 5, which is Voices. Mentioned that it had quite a lead in there.
Yeah.
But then it kicks into that kind of that little riff.
Yep.
That I like.
Yep. Got a vibe going. Eddie Current Suppression Ring.
Should mention the straight ahead rocker on this album is song number one, but since we don't actually pick song number ones, since it's forbidden on this podcast, I skipped it. But
it's forbidden except when we decide that we're going to be daring and, you know, break that rule. But yeah. But people can listen to that on their own. The album is called All in Good Time, and it's a fun one. Okay, on to Kiwi Jr.
Yes.
We should discuss this band without referencing where they're from for a little while so the listeners can guess. I think it's interesting sometimes. Like, I'm just going to say, when I heard this band, I thought, they don't really sound like they would be from the place where they're from.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Hmm.
We'll see if that proves to be the case or not.
They are not aging rockers or veteran rockers. This is their first album. They are brand spanking new, and the album is Football Money.
Yeah.
And it's a clue that they use the term football.
Could be.
So I think, are they talking about American football? They could be talking about America. I don't know.
That's that term football means different things.
It sure does.
I'm keeping this very mysterious now.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about them without talking about their hometown. So, this is very, I thought it was very pavement-y. Kind of like if Stephen Malkmus fronted like the Go-Betweens or something. Like it's like pavement-y jangle pop.
There's a there's another reference, I think, but let's play a track and then we'll go from there. So you can take the first pick if you want.
All right, let's go with song number 4, Gimme More.
Gimme more, growing more, gimme 4 on the floor, gimme more, gimme more, more, more. Gimme X-ray vision in the infantry
Street's Running.
Kiwi Jr.
from Bangladesh.
See, now you might think they're Australian with the Kiwi, you know, reference, right?
Correct. That's probably, yeah.
And you'd be wrong.
You'd be wrong.
And then you could say, my reference, I think they kind of sound like Parquet Courts. Maybe other tracks more. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. So then it makes me think they're American. But no, we haven't touched on actually where they're from yet. Everybody, put your final answer in your brain right now, and then we're going to tell you.
You want me to say it right now?
Yeah.
Well, they started off in Charlottetown, Canada, a very small town. And then in the mid-2010s, I'm losing it. They moved to Toronto for indie rock stardom.
And
they're Torontoans.
And now they've been on the podcast, so they've achieved indie rock stardom. There's not really much. I mean, yeah, you could go play a few shows down at South by Southwest, but that's really kind of that's the dessert after you've been on Will's Band of the Week.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Hopefully this gets them more gigs.
Right. Yeah. So cool.
Another important point about them being Torontoans, they share a band member with another podcast favorite. Do you want to guess who they are?
That one I have not read. You've out-music journalismed me.
They share a bassist with a podcast favorite.
Who would that be? I have no idea.
Always.
Really?
They have the same bassist as Always.
That's fascinating.
Or at least the bassist who recorded on the first two Always albums. Maybe they booted him or something, but yeah.
Wow, interesting.
He's in both bands.
Wow. He's like, he knows the cool Toronto indie rockers.
Right.
Yeah.
He's Toronto royalty at this point.
All right. I'm going to play number three, Salary Man.
Talks over coffee, nothing says home like a basket of folded white shirts. We can forgive, but we will forget, even when everyone talks about it. The snake sleeps. I gaze through the window. There is still poetry there. We can forgive, but we can't forget. No, not when no one shuts up about it. Salary men sleep on public benches next to the street in their new suits. Shiny blue ties, polished black boots, scratchy red eyes.
My pick was good, wasn't it?
Yes. They actually have a video for that song as well.
Ah.
So definitely go check that out.
I didn't know that. Okay, I'm going to say. I did not know that they had selected that as the hit.
Yes.
I independently selected it.
They think it's the hit.
All right.
I should also clarify, Brian Murphy is the second guitarist in Kiwi Jr., and he was the bassist for Always. So he's not the bassist for both.
Oh, okay, got it.
Point of clarification. Want to be entirely truthful with the audience.
Can you imagine if we got something wrong sometime, how bad that would be? God, I'd be so ashamed. That's why we never get anything wrong.
It's true.
Well, all right. One more from this album?
Yeah, I'm going to break the rules and pick song number one because it's really good.
You've held out long enough.
I know.
On song one.
I'm going crazy.
All right. It's got a good name, too, this song.
It's called Murder in the Cathedral.
Opportunities in foreign communities. Who wears a collar? Who wears a crown? Where is the college in the campus town? I used to know. Oh yeah, I swear I used to. You'll get used to it and forget all the ways and the names of the new. Okay, a million people's faces is a hard act to follow. A million wacky races running through the hall. Oh yeah, a million parking spaces filling up tomorrow. A million people's faces.
Kiwi Jr.
And you just did a little music journalism while we were talking, or while we were listening to that. And that is?
I forgot already. What was it?
They're going to be playing at a certain...
Oh, yeah.
Music venue.
Yeah, that. See, yeah, I knew that already. I just wanted to show you.
Oh.
Because I have them on my favorites. So, do you have the South by Southwest Go app?
I do not yet.
So, you get that thing, and then you start marking, and I've got like 50 bands already listed on here.
Man.
Potential bands to see.
I'm never going
to
see you there.
Maybe not. Yeah, I'll be too busy watching bands.
Have we broken the news that we're going to be there this year?
I don't know if we have officially, but should we break it now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going again. Only because we want to alert the listeners to all the good music, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah. Hopefully they're better than Pew Pew Pew. Also,
oh, yeah.
Canadians.
That was the guy who ate the sandwich during the set, right? Didn't you say
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he was eating curly fries.
Oh, yeah.
Like during an extended solo, he's just like, and then during the first song, he's like checking his email on his phone.
That's kind of bad.
Like, that's not really, yeah. Because there's just like three of us in the room, very thin crowd, so they just completely mailed it in.
Yeah.
So I was inclined to I liked them enough to go see them.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I've soured on them.
Well, you know, it would be pretty sad if you came like a really long distance and you're all excited, you know, we're playing at South by Southwest, and then like five people show up to see it. You'd just be like, fuck.
You know? Yeah.
Just be like, yeah.
I agree. That would be disappointing.
Yeah. As many bands as there are, there's still like a... like a flow of the crowds, right? And it's sometimes kind of unpredictable, right? Mm. So, you know, I always like it when we go see bands and the crowd isn't too huge, you know. The perfect balance is if there's just like a pretty crowded room of like 50 to 100 people. And it's manageable, but it feels like a good crowd. You don't have to navigate something crazy. And it's also not sad because there's not enough people.
It's not like Otoboke Beaver where it's packed and you're getting kicked in the head by people jumping around and stuff.
That might happen. Yeah, yeah, they're going to be there this year again, and I missed them last year. So,
all right, Kiwi Junior, we're coming to see you.
We are. Okay. Well,
did Kiwi Senior used to play back in the day?
That was the band of all their dads. Yeah. So, like, when Jay Maskus's kid forms a band, it'll be Dinosaur Junior Junior, right?
Correct.
Are we recording? Are we on?
We are.
Are we on Facebook Live or something like that?
I just Instagrammed it.
Okay. Yeah, that's. I mean, you got to give the fans something. There's a high demand for little short videos of us.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a bonus band. We've got time, right, for a bonus band?
Always time for a bonus band.
It's been lingering on my playlist for a while, and I couldn't get Craig to talk about this band because he thought the name was terrible. So we can go. That Craig has a thing. If he hates the band name, he just refuses to listen because he's already soured on the whole experience. So this band is called Mr. Ben and the Bens. I think and Craig kind of gave me a little more detail on this. There's a children's character in the UK called Mr. Ben.
Oh.
And it's like, he's like a Mr. Rogers, you know, kind of guy, like a kid character guy, right? And, but the Mr. Ben character, the Ben is spelled with two N's, B-E-N-N. And this band is just Mr. Ben, B-E-N, and the Bens. And the guy's name is Ben. So it's like, okay, you know, you can call yourself that if your name is Ben, I guess. So I would not call this a great band name, but it doesn't aggravate me to the point that I would refuse to listen. So I listened, and it was pretty good. The guy's name is Ben Hall, and he's from, I'm sure they pronounce that Lancaster, right? UK?
Yes.
In the US, they would say Lancaster, but there's no way they would say that.
No.
In the UK.
No.
Yeah. And the album is called Who Knows Jenny Jones. And there's supposed to be some kind of theme to the lyrics, but in my typical fashion, I did not invest enough to figure out what the lyrics meant, really. I just think it's a good, catchy album. So, you had only one pick, you said. So, it would be terrible if I stole your one pick. So, maybe we should let you do your pick first.
Yeah, I didn't give this that many listens. And by that many, I meant one. Yeah. And I really like song number two, which is The Edge of a Cloud. Love the drums in that song.
Yeah, super punchy, lively drums.
They kind of trip through, but still kind of stay on time.
Yeah, yeah.
Really cool.
And the bass bounces around a lot, too, which is cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it started as just Ben Hall's personal recording project. And then they turn it into an actual band. They're actually going to be playing some shows. Newcastle upon Tyne, Bristol, Leeds, back to their hometown, Lancaster, Sheffield. Sounds like a good tour to me.
Are they playing Ipswich?
They should be. The Smokehouse, that's the premier official venue of the Will's Band of the Week podcast. You go see a show at the Smokehouse, and you fly over here and go to Le Tigre. That would be the full experience, right? Yeah. All right. Let's see. What am I going to play?
Yeah. It's yours. You're taking the wheel from here on.
Let's bump it up to number 5, called 8 p.m. Ben and the Bends.
Not to be confused with The Bends, who was a band from a few years back made up of three famous Bens. It was like Ben Folds, Ben Soli, and some other Ben. They got together and made an EP, I believe, and they called themselves The Bends.
They should make a band just for you called The Lauras, right?
Right.
Miss Laura and The Lauras.
Absolutely.
Or something like that, and it'd be all Gibson, Veers, and who's the other one?
Marling.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The holy triumvirate of Laura's.
Did you read the sad story about Laura Veers getting divorced?
No.
So she was married to the well-known record producer, John Congleton, I believe is, or Congleton.
He's very well-known.
Well, he's a Portland mainstay. He's okay. Produced a lot of really highly regarded albums, including her album. And so, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, a public divorce. Kind of sad.
Well, there's got to be an album in that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there will be.
Probably a very good one.
Yep. Probably your best album ever. Yep. All right. Let's play one more from Mr. Ben and the Bends. Let's go with number 3. He Is the One.
Thank you.
That's Mr. Ben and the Bens.
Now, it's ironic last night that I saw Whitney because of the use of falsetto. And I believe when I was on the podcast talking about Whitney, you came out as anti-falsetto.
Yeah, this guy's kind of doing a little falsetto, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Contradicted myself.
Yep. I'm pinning you to the wall.
I think Whitney does falsetto pretty well, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the 12-second snippet that you sent, they looked pretty good. You know, the band looked, you know, like you said, a lot of people on stage. Drummer's got to be in the front because he's singing.
You're not supposed to agree. That's cool. You're not supposed to agree with me.
That's true.
I'm trying to impeach you.
I was trying
to... in front of the Senate right now explaining why you should be impeached.
I was going to ask you, because the drummer sings, would I be correct in assuming they did a cover of What I Like About You by the Romantics?
They did not. Like, they did do a cover, but I didn't know, and they announced this as a cover.
They were one of those cool bands. Craig and I were talking about this. They were one of those cool bands when they play a cover... It's something obscure so that you don't know what it is.
Exactly.
That makes them cool.
Yes.
Right.
Chai, however, played their version of Karma Chameleon by Culture Club.
Did they really?
They did.
I bet they pulled it off.
They did. It was great.
It might have been even better than the original, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I didn't really explain like what a Chai show was like because they were there and they put on their like dinosaur costumes where they dance around for a little while. And then at some point, two of them went over to a box and put on like miners' helmets with the lights on them.
Oh, okay.
And started playing like electronic drums, which was really great. It's quite an experience.
So you said that Barrett liked it and he was worried that he wouldn't.
Yes.
You know, that it wouldn't live up to the album. But you saw them presumably in a much smaller venue last year. How did it compare?
Come to think of it, I'm not sure I did see them. Because I saw so many...
You only saw like 36 bands.
So yeah.
There was a lot of talk about them.
Right, right.
And yeah, I almost forgot whether I saw them too, but I know that I didn't.
Yeah, I'm confused about who I saw and who I didn't.
Yeah.
But,
so,
yeah.
Okay, so you can't make a comparison.
No. But it was great. I enjoyed it.
Very cool. You know, you can't have fear, like you're saying that Barrett has. Like, okay, I really like this album, but I'm not going to go see the band because it won't live up to the album. I think that's too much. That's being kind of defensive, right? I think you got to just go and immerse yourself. And usually it's going
to
be fine.
But it's important to manage your expectations.
That's true, too.
Like, he manages his expectations. He's like, I'm probably not going to like this, but I'm going to go anyway, and then you enjoy it.
Yeah. That's a good way to put
it, too.
Instead
of going in, like when I went to see the movie 1917...
Yeah,
I was like, oh, God, I hear this movie's great. I can't wait to see it. And then I saw it, and I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's fine.
So it was a letdown from the expectations, you're
right.
saying? Yeah.
It's all about managing expectations.
I think the opener, which was, didn't 1916 the blog open up for that movie?
Yeah.
They did a reading of your book before the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. I stood up there. Instead of previews, I did a couple snippets out of the book.
Yeah.
I should plug the book on this podcast more.
Yeah, come on.
People, buy the book. 1916, the blog.
Yeah, do it, people.
It's out there.
Yep. All right. I think we've given him $0.
I do want to mention one thing. It's not technically a death of the week, but I want to memorialize the death of Terry Jones of Monty Python.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That one, you know, deaths come and go, but that one, when I saw it, made me really sad. He had had Parkinson's for 3 years, and so the end was nigh, but certainly a very important person in my life and the life of comedy in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So, aren't the Grammys coming up soon?
They're tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So, the time this goes up, they will have happened.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll be in the middle of it still. Well, anyway.
Could be.
So, are you going to do your live blogging of the Grammys, live commentary?
No, I will not watch a minute of the Grammys.
Yeah, it has gotten to that point, hasn't it? That it's just...
it's not even worth
It's a setup for disappointment.
Yeah.
I was going to say, though, you've stuck with it a lot longer than I generally have.
Yeah.
You're a lot more pop culture aware than I am. I'm more in my bubble of aging indie rocker stuff.
I do dip into popular acts every now and then just to see what I should not like.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you like them, like Lana Del Rey, you know?
Yeah.
Although maybe she's not, I don't know how famous she is. She was on Saturday Night Live, right? So that's pretty famous.
She's got to be pretty famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I only listened to her. I was cajoled by David.
Right. Yeah.
Because I listened to that podcast.
That's another album that I know that if I just decided to put in the time, I'd like it a lot more. I listened to it once through in the car, and I was pretty impressed by the whole production.
Well, there you go. Make some time.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Do you think we should talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week?
I think we should do that.
All right. We will. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.